Hello, it's Tessa, back with you for another episode of Newscast. Today, we're talking SEZ, BIG, and last but not least, the COC. Okay, enough of the acronyms. What we're actually talking about is a plea that the Chamber of Commerce has made to the Manx government. It claims government will struggle to achieve the goals it's set for itself in Our Island Plan, remember that document, if it doesn't speed up initiatives to drive economic growth. It's called for special economic zones to be considered and says it's interested in a new scheme, the Biosphere Innovation Gateway Project, which has been put forward. That project involves the creation of a green energy complex, accommodation, a hotel, and a university for 4,500 students. There's also talk of a train line. I spoke to President of the Chamber of Commerce, Kristen McDonald.
So a special economic zone is an area of land usually which is set aside by government and is essentially a deregulated area. So think of somewhere like Canary Wharf, where they deregulated parts of the planning, the City of London itself, where some of the laws are slightly different. And a great example of what we've been looking at is a place called the Research Triangle Park in the US, which is where there is a large number of big US research and development facilities for some of the big sort of tech companies like Intel, people like that, where there is, I think it's tax breaks essentially is what they get out there, along with relaxed planning laws. So they can essentially get on with it without having to be constantly wading through red tape and bureaucracy, which is something that in one of our recent surveys that Chamber have done is coming up time and time again as a struggle for local businesses here.
And we hear about red tape and we hear about bureaucracy often when we talk about business, when we talk about development. If we can break that down slightly, what is the red tape? What is the bureaucracy? What are the kind of common stumbling blocks that you think people are coming up against?
It really does range right across the board. So Chamber here, all sorts of stories from all ends of the spectrum. So obviously a common theme is planning. Obviously King Gaming wanted to build this huge place opposite ShopRite, which, you know, in theory looked good, but there was a few objections and it hasn't really come off yet. We saw one where Swagelok as well wants to do some big work and that was stopped by another planning issue. So planning is definitely one part of it. The other part is dealing with government. Quite a few businesses find it's not as friction-free as it could be. You know, a lot of business these days is all done through an app. It's all done online. Your bank is on your app, all this sort of thing. Yet dealing with government, it's still picking up a phone and talking to someone more often than not. Which again just creates that bit of friction, which makes it more difficult. And sometimes you get different answers from different people. And then we've heard stories all the way down into, you know, even someone struggling with vehicle testing and things like that. So we get it right across the board. And it usually boils down to either people interpreting the rules wrong, people not interpreting the rules correctly, not being aware, or the rules just being particularly onerous or difficult or not really fit for purpose anymore. There's a lot of old legislation which really doesn't work in the modern world. So it's all across the board. Digitization is one of the big issues that we come across, you know, still having to fill out paper forms, hand them in, sign them. Those sorts of things, you know, in other parts of the world have all been solved. But over here, they still cause a great deal of friction when businesses are trying to interact with government.
The idea then is if we were to have one of these special economic zones, as you say, the red tape, the bureaucracy kind of would fall away and basically the developers would be left to get on. Ideally, then the development springs up. It then provides that boost to the economy and everybody's happy. Is that actually ever going to be a realistic prospect on the Isle of Man?
We still obviously need rules and regulations enforced there, otherwise, you know, it can go a bit mad. But you've got to look at the UK. The UK is doing, I think, 10, 12 of these zones in various places this year is the plans. These aren't like radical revolutionary things that have just come out of nowhere. This is a well-established concept that is used the world over. Think of what we've already got one in some ways with the Freeport. It's just not very well developed. So this is the next logical step after that, is to create this area. So it's almost an extension of the Freeport, is the way you can think of it, with, again, slightly different rules and regulations. But what we're really calling for now is to answer that exact question, is to look at the feasibility of this. Would it actually work on the Isle of Man? What would be the economic benefits of it? Clearly, other parts of the world are seeing benefits from this. We've taken calls from a few local experts on special economic zones and the benefits of them. So we're trying to now push on governments. They've already been involved in looking at this, but to actually let's put a feasibility study together. Let's see whether or not this is actually something that can benefit the island, and how we would implement it and what it would potentially bring.
And one such project that's sort of come to light over the last few weeks is this this big project, Biosphere Innovation Gateway. Now, the Chamber says that it's interested in the idea, interested in supporting the idea. From the Chamber's perspective, what do we know about that? What is that project intending to deliver? I mean, I think it's been described as a multi-billion pound project. So clearly it's setting its stall quite high.
Yeah, that's true. So we obviously see a whole range of projects that come across and presented to us in Chamber. This is one of those. This is particularly interesting when you look, because it's so closely aligned with the goals of the economic strategy. There's provision for a large number of housing projects. There's provision for a university in there. There's green power. A lot of that stuff aligns extremely well with the island plan and the economic strategy. And when you actually look at the people behind it, it's HM, and he's got a reputation on the island. But if you separate him out of it and look at the other people involved, you've got someone who was very senior on the commercial side of Canary Wharf. You've got other people who are very experienced in these sorts of projects. And then you've got to remember, the person that came up with Canary Wharf, who was that? You've no idea. It's less about the actual individuals in some of these projects and the actual ideas behind it. We've been campaigning for a long time for an expansion of higher education on the islands. We've been talking about trying to get more housing on the island, and green power is a constant problem over here for many businesses, because they can't say that their energy is sourced in an environmentally renewable way, which, when you're dealing with multinational companies who have got huge ESG regulations, the Isle of Man is a bit of a sore thumb in that respect. So from our point of view, this actually ticks a whole load of boxes. And again, it all comes back to the feasibility. Would this actually work? Can we get it off the ground? So trying to understand, does this align well with the actual economic strategy? Does it work with the island plan? Does it work with business and what we're trying to achieve? And we need to look at projects like this and take them seriously, because we're 2 years into the economic strategy, basically, in the island plan, and we've really not seen a huge amount delivered. Our members are becoming increasingly frustrated with this. They've told us that. We've got survey results which tell us that they don't really have a great deal of confidence in the government's ability to deliver on the strategy. So we need to find ways to actually help support the delivery of that, because the island badly needs the outcomes around it. We need that economic growth and certainty. Otherwise, we're going to suffer a very slow and painful death. So we need to be looking at some of the more radical and bolder projects and trying to help them get off the ground. And there's a number of them. You look at the Peel Group with the solar farm and the cannabis farm. Both of those are, again, substantial, large projects which hold the potential to be hugely beneficial to the island. So all of these things together, there's a lot of private sector projects which would benefit from looking at some of this work around special economic zones and around the feasibility of these things, and just trying to help get across the line.
And when the details of this this one in particular, the big project, came out, members of the public naturally shared their thoughts on it. A couple of the comments that I was looking at, one, get real, another, fairy tales, and another, this will die off like the last development, etc., etc., etc. Do you think, or can you understand, why members of the public are sceptical when they see grand plans, if you like? Because we have got a bit of a track record for developments that don't really go anywhere. And we have a number of derelict sites where nothing's happened. And, you know, people are promised these big projects and nothing actually is ever delivered.
Yeah, I think the key part of this, though, is that when you look at those sites which stall, fail, a lot of that is because of these bureaucratic problems. A lot of it is planning and a lot of it is restrictions on that. And some of it is also market forces. You know, have these people actually got the funding behind it? And, you know, there's many, many reasons why some of this stuff works and some of this stuff doesn't. Look, I don't know whether this will succeed. I have my own, you know, personal views on it. And I think the thing is, you will always, always have people who aren't willing to invest in a project emotionally or just from any point of view, because it's easier just to say no to it. But we're, you know, the island is starting to get to a point where we need to start believing in delivering some of these big projects, because otherwise they're simply, our economy will start to really struggle. We need, you know, we need some intervention at this point. If it's not this, what else is it? You know, what other projects might there be? What other things could there be? So you know, from the Chamber point of view, we're supportive of the feasibility around this, and we want it aligns well with some of the economic strategy goals. Whether it happens or not, you know, it is really going to be behind the outcome of some of these feasibility reports, and whether or not, you know, we can establish special economic zone, whether or not the funding can be put into place, and whether or not there's other projects that may well benefit from similar arrangements. So there's a lot of questions. Now is the time to get the investigation going. The projects are out there. We need to look at them now and try and come up with a framework to try and help some of these ones land and actually be developed, so that we can realise the benefits. Because if it did come off, it would be absolutely fantastic for the island. Similarly to, you know, the Peel Group ones as well, if they came off. Similarly to Lord Street. You know, we need to try and unlock a lot of this stuff, because the benefits to the residents of the islands and the businesses over here are just enormous.
The economic strategy and the progress that government is actually making with that. Now, that plan was approved in November 2022, I seem to recall. Do you think now in June 2023, we're actually seeing any progress of government delivering on that economic strategy, which this administration really has pinned its colours on, really?
I think from us, you know, again, we asked our members this exact question, and the results were that they simply don't see enough progress. We're not seeing the delivery of these things. A lot of our criticism and frequent criticism of government is endless reports and endless feasibility studies and things like that. There's got to be action out the other side of it. The economic strategy was a great piece of work, a fantastic report. It's very well done. Gave all the answers in there. Now we need to see the delivery of it, and that simply doesn't seem to be happening. So we've pushed for and constantly pushed for updates against it, so that our members are aware of what's happening. And you know, there's some things which are happening. There's some little good pieces that have been delivered, but we really need to push more on that. And we've got to pick up the pace of and the actual momentum of this delivery, because again, otherwise we lag behind everybody else. And we're going to have a slow decline, whereas actually what we really need is to bring the population to make some of this stuff more feasible, to actually help run the island a bit more efficiently, because we're just not there at the moment.
Now, we've invited the people behind the big project to talk to us about their plans on multiple occasions. We're still waiting. Our door is open. We've also invited the Department for Enterprise to respond.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.